podcast you don't want to miss. Lucha House Show Podcast.
Bring the bell!
Let's go!
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of our favorite and your favorite wrestling podcast, Lucha House Show Podcast. I'm Mars, the voice of violence, as always, joined by my colleagues here at ringside, the dreadlock demon himself, Rowdy Roddy, and the armless assassin, Renzo Sin Brazos. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about this week. The road, the long and winding road to WrestleMania has hit its home stretch. Excitement is at fever pitch. We can see the ending, and the ending is blurred. This is probably one of the most unclearest WrestleManias as to what's going to happen. And I, for one, am happier than a pig in the proverbial shit. Apart from that, believe it or not, there has been other stuff happening in the world of wrestling. So tonight we're going to talk a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to talk an Edgehead answers the Cope challenge. We're going to talk about who's inducting the legendary wise man Paul Heyman into the WWE Hall of Fame. We're talking AEW for a little bit, and then we'll go on to talk about night one and night two of WrestleMania, the showcase of the Immortals, where we will give you our predictions and a bit of future fantasy booking. But to kick things off, why don't you flick that switch, Roddy, and let's start talking about the one and only King of the Indies, Matt Cardona, former Edgehead, accepting the Cope challenge.
Mate, what an entrance. No one's expecting it. I haven't seen the King of the Indies in some time in AEW. And it was really nice to see him answer that challenge. The people absolutely went nuts when his music hit and he went inside the ring. And Copeland's face was absolutely insane. He just couldn't believe it when he saw him. It's like, all right. And then kind of both of them had that. It reminds me of that CM Punk, Randy Orton, you know, facing each other when CM Punk came into when he was Survivor Series. And it was pretty funny. The fact that he just looked at him, they look at each other, kind of laugh. This time was a bit more serious because it was for the TNT title. But no, that was great, man. Love it. Love it. I can't wait to see this match because it's going to be, remember, Matt Cardona is the king of the Indies, but he's the king of the dead matches at the moment. So Copeland has a big one coming in and he's just getting out of a massive, gruesome match. So he's going to get into another one. Renzo.
Yeah, it was. Oh, sorry, Renzo, you go, mate.
Oh, thanks, Mars. Now, look, I think that it was great. I think the cool thing about Matt Cardona is he definitely is a mercenary for good, right? He goes to all different indies and you know, he just showcases himself. You know, he's gone pretty much everywhere. He's come to Australia. He does a lot of stuff for MLW, you know, pretty much all over the indie circuit. And the good thing is that this guy just comes in and out, man. He's tied to no one. And that's his shtick, right? Tied to no one, just appears whenever he wants and goes wherever he wants. And yeah, everybody loved it, man. You know, him being a massive Adam Copeland Edge fan, you know, talking about how he, you know, idolized, you know, Edge in WWE. So it was great, man. I loved watching stuff like that. It's like I said, it's great that he can just pop up whenever he wants.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the beauty of what Matt Cardona does. And he's gone on record on various podcasts and on interviews to say that he's making more money now than he ever made at WWE, and he's got more flexibility, more control. I've seen him wrestle down here. Renzo, you were with me when we saw him at the World Series Wrestling here in Sydney. He's awesome. He talks the talk, and he definitely walks the walk. And on top of that, he's married to Chelsea Green, you know. So the guy's been hit with a lucky stick. But look, he wrote a really nice piece on his Instagram about the match against Adam Copeland being his real dream match. And it wasn't just like, you know, using that term flippantly as many people do. He described why it was. And I think AEW would be crazy to just end the story here. I mean, I think this needs to continue. I think they need to have Matt Cardona on regularly. I mean, he may not want that, but whoever's booking AEW, if they're not considering signing Matt Cardona long-term, then they really need to take a long, hard look at themselves, in my opinion.
Well, the rumors are that he actually signed with AEW. That's what the rumors are around. That's why he shows up. So the rumors are that he did sign in with AEW, which still gives him the flexibility. You've got to remember that AEW doesn't have exclusive clause.
No, you can still right.
move mm. around. It's just that you yeah. become a bit more regular on AEW, which would be fucking great. Let's see. We're going to see the King of Deathmatch. We'd like yeah. to see him going against Moxley. Farrell.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, and he's like he gets a chance to be on weekly international television, which you know obviously helps the brand name Matt Cardona.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's already big, so this is going to make it even
bigger. Oh, he's huge. He's like if you, anyone who knows anything about wrestling knows Matt Cardona, knows what he's done, knows what he's doing, and doesn't know what he's going to do, obviously. But you know, you're expecting big things from the guy. Like he's a student of the game. He's a wrestling fan mm-hmm. and he's a student of the game. I can't speak highly enough of him. I'm a big fan.
100%. Mm. Talking to AEW, we're not going to go into AEW, but we will go into Adam Copeland's opening today. Of course, it was in regards to what CM Punk said on the MMA Hour. Renzo, what are your thoughts?
How long have we got?
Oh, I know. How long have we got? Look, all I'm going to say is that I think it was pretty unfair the way that Punk talked about AEW. I mean, he was paid big bucks to go. He virtually shit on him, right? And look, he was done.
I disagree with that.
I think he shit on him. There were a few things that he kind of said that I was like, oh man, I don't agree with what he said. And I think I sent you guys the quote, right? One of the quotes that he said. No, he said that I think guaranteed money has caused wrestlers to become more complacent. And match quality to go down as a result. Now, I don't think that's right. You got that's 100%
right. wrong because I found the piece that you were talking about.
Go on.
And he was saying regarding the wrestlers' ability to, you know, push themselves higher and also not having consequences when, you know, they do bad shit. And that's what he was talking about when he talked about that part. So, for example, Perry. Perry fucks up, he's still getting paid the same money. You know, the Bucks fucked up, they're still getting the same money. So he was referring to that part. You know, guarantee money means they get like, they get a bit lazy. And they get lazy because, simple as, they can fuck up, there's no consequences. You know, and I get paid cut, nothing like that. And like CM Punk have said it many times, if you're the top dog, you bring in a lot of money in, it's fair that you get paid more. And if you're not, it's only fair that you get paid less. You know, you only get paid as much money as you get through, you know. So I think that quote was taken out of context. And when I found that part, I found it straight away. And it completely out of context what he was talking about. And he did not say anything wrong about AEW. He was just truthfully. And it's something that Masseter has said many times here on the podcast. People can go back, listen to the podcast since Masseter talked about AEW. And it's exactly the same thing he said every single time. There's just the maniacs running the asylum. And now it's different. Now it's been completely different. You can see there's a bit more of our boss stuff. And we said it many times. You can see the difference between Tony Khan, the fanboy, to Tony Khan now, the boss. It was a huge difference, massive. And you can tell the way the AEW is going. And he was saying he didn't respect anyone because on top of that, he said, I got many friends there. So I'm not going to speak bad about it. I'm just going to speak about my time there, my thoughts, and what I went through. And that's it. He didn't talk about the NDA. He says, I got nothing to hide. So why do I have to sign an NDA? They made him sign an NDA. He did it. At the end of the day, he didn't say anything bad about it. And that's why I didn't like Adam Copeland's opening today. Because he went to, bad shit, it's been talked about AEW. It's like, no, it wasn't. He wasn't talking shit about AEW. He talked about what he thought, what he went through. He didn't talk shit about Shivani. Shivani also took it the wrong way. He didn't say nothing bad about Shivani. I don't give a fuck what he said, blah, 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 blah. It's like, he didn't say nothing bad about you. He just said what you said to him to talk to Perry. That's all he said about Shivani the whole time. So I think everyone, when he said there's people in AEW that doesn't like him and didn't like him from the beginning and he's talking shit to everyone, dude, you can tell straight away it's real because Adam Copeland got it wrong. Shivani got it wrong, and all the people on the internet got it wrong. They took the the interview out of context. If you listen properly, the whole time he's respectfully, he even talked about Tony Khan. He's like, what about if you find Tony Khan on the street? He's like, hey, Tony, how you doing? How's things going? That's it. The Jump Bucks don't like him. He said the Jump Bucks don't like him. Simple as that. He talked about what happened with Hangman Page. And, hey, we got everything sorted. And then you talk shit on screen. He's like, at the same time, he never went wrong about anyone. He was really truthful in what he said. And this is what people doesn't like him. Because he goes head forward. He's like, no bullshit. This is what happened. This is it. And, you know, and he said even, I got it wrong. And I've said it wrong. Like, for example, when he said about WWE, sorry to continue, but just to like, to kind of get the idea, when he said about WWE, when he said, now I'm home, and they ask him, do you regret saying that? AEW is like, yeah, I did. I think at that time I was just going off, you know, the motions, and I was catering to that audience. And then he says, yeah, I shouldn't say that the way that I said about WWE. Fair enough. He took it back. I got it wrong. But I think that's the thing. I think this interview has been taken out of context on purpose by a lot of people.
But no, look, I think that's where he went wrong. I think that, you know, whatever happened in AEW, fucking just leave it, man. He didn't have to talk about that in depth, right? And he did.
He got asked, I admit.
He got asked about it. You can't complain about that, man.
And but he avoided it as much as he could.
Exactly. Look at the fucking guy that he's talking to, right? Can I ask you a question? Go on.
Did you watch the interview?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. What did he say bad about AEW?
Talking about it was the bad thing.
No, you can't. That's bullshit. What did he say bad about AEW?
And I think it's the whole what happened in the back. Like, you keep it to yourself, man. Don't talk
but
about
he said,
it.
He said he didn't like pulling the curtain back too much. And
but he did.
No, he not all the way.
He didn't.
He didn't say anything that wasn't told, and it wasn't that we spoke about it, or the speculation or the stuff that we happened, and people said they happened behind the closed doors. He kept it to that point.
The only person who might have an issue with what he said, and it wouldn't be a big one because he didn't say bad things about him. He just basically put the X against him, against his name, is Colt Cabana.
That's it.
Everything else he said was Punk. To me, Punk came across as sincere, truthful, and he's a businessman. As he said, like, I don't know, I'm not quoting him directly, but he said words to the effect of, like, if you're in this game to, you know, and you're happy with getting 5 stars off a guy that never been in a ring of a, you know, pseudo journalist, you're happy with that. I'm happy with, like, being in a business where I sell tickets, sell merch, have a bigger gate than when in the same city that when I was there last time, then we're in two different businesses. To me, that was the most telling thing he said. Mm-hmm. But in terms of AEW, I think every single thing he said was truthful. Yeah. I don't think he shit on AEW. I don't think he said anything bad about AEW. And you know what? If you go back and look, and even like Rod said, what we've been saying here in our show, and even going back and watching AEW from what it is then to what it is now, you can see what he's saying. It's clear as day.
You can. Yeah, oh, absolutely. But was he the problem? But that's the thing. He was a problem, right?
No, he's
the problem.
He wasn't the problem.
Absolutely. He's the problem, man. He's always been the problem. Oh, he's always been the cancer.
Fucking AEW Mark glasses, man.
Absolutely not. Look, hey, we're all having an opinion. We'll have an opinion.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not about who's right or wrong. It's about me and Rob being right and you're wrong.
No, but listen. Look.
You just, like Master said, I'm not going to tell you wrong, but you're wrong.
I'm pissed because the guy's a bitch. He got paid big bucks by AEW, right? He shit on you guys are saying, no, he didn't shit on him. By even mentioning the names, Hangman, Adam Page, you know, Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, like even saying that shit, you just leave it at the back, man. You know, you don't go out and talk about it. It never happens in any sport, right? This doesn't happen in any sport where they shit on.
Continue with that.
Right.
Who were the first ones to bring CM Punk name to it? Was it CM Punk talking about them or was them talking about CM Punk?
That's a fucking chicken and egg argument, isn't it? What came first?
Who was the first one? It was Hangman Page who started talking shit about CM Punk first before the whole feud started. And Perry started talking shit about CM Punk before the whole thing started. So you can't blame the guy for talking about all the people that have been talking shit about him.
No, but if it was kind of respectable and, the, you know, the saint that he... Wait. No. If he's portraying himself as the saint, like, fuck, nothing happened to me, man. I'm just fucking Pepsi Phil and I'm cool. No, but hey, listen. And he's just coming out going, yep, I'm cool. Like, yep, respect me, right? Fuck, have a bit of respect for what you did, man. The company that paid you fucking millions to come back.
Yeah, but the company paid him millions. But how many millions did he make for that company?
Exactly. He was top submerged, man.
He was the top guy.
He was the top guy. And they said it. Why?
There's no convincing me.
You top guy. They said it there.
That's what there's no convincing me. Phil Brooks.
It's not about convincing. It's about... Man, I'm an AEW. I follow AEW with you.
Same.
Since this...
I like AEW.
But look, that's the whole thing about Adam Copeland's talk today. He said, look, fuck, let's just stop this shit, man. Let's just fucking enjoy wrestling, like what we've always been saying. And that's what it should be all about. Because what he's doing is, what Phil's doing is, he's putting a fucking divide in everything, right? He's just making things worse, man. He really is.
No, internet is just professional wrestling.
Yeah, it is. It is what we love. But, like, we should love it because, fuck, there's competition, man. All these wrestlers are going everywhere, you know?
Look, like, I've said it before. Like, if you're wishing for the downfall of AEW, then you're not a wrestling fan.
Exactly.
No,
because this is good
not.
For everybody in the business. But what I'm saying is, and we've gone off point a bit because, you know, that's what happens when you're losing an argument. You try and introduce another topic to try, you know, a bit of a red herring. But, you know, anyway... We all agree that CM Punk's a legend, so let's move on to the next topic.
Yeah, like, look, it is what happened. The interview was great. He got pushed to talk what he had to talk, the one to talk about it. And at the end of the day, he said he had friends there, and that's why he left it up to that.
Yeah.
He only said some stuff, but he still has friends in there. He still had people to say hi to. Same with the WWE. He still had friends in there, so that's why he went to Raw one day and he got kicked out. He just went to say hi to people, and he got kicked out for no reason, so... It's always going to be with CM Punk. It's always going to be a controversial because someone doesn't like him, someone this, someone that. But at the end of the day, the guy makes money. He makes you a lot of money. He did for AEW. He is doing it for WWE. And as long as you do that, man, that's what he says. If you're in this business to make money, right, that's what it is, making money. But anyways, that was the interview. It was fucking great. I liked it. And let's say, the MMA, I was having... had a lot of wrestlers in the last few days.
Yeah.
We had a confrontation between Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch on it. We had Cody Rhodes today.
Cody Rhodes, you have to watch that one. I haven't watched it yet.
Mate, that was a good one. The Cody Rhodes one was really good one. He kind of pushed there to have The Rock in there, hopefully one day. So it's going to be tough. It's MMA. I was becoming a really good option to listen to these wrestlers. It's like between the two worlds, the real and the wrestling one. It's pretty fun one. Moving on from that, really quick, MJF search out of nowhere, finally tweet after we said, oh, we haven't heard from MJF. He tweeted about The Rock buying that painting of his ex-fiance. That was pretty funny. But that's a little bit MJF. Now, the Hall of Fame. It's coming on, after SmackDown on Friday.
On Friday.
And I think it's fair to say the head of the class is Paul Heyman for this one. And he will be introduced by no one else, by the current head of the table, number one, Roman Reigns. What are your thoughts on that?
Man, look, I can understand why. I can definitely understand why Roman Reigns is the top guy. Paul Heyman's gone on record, I understand, as saying that that's the greatest superstar he's ever worked with, which is saying a lot. I don't have a problem with it. I would have preferred if someone from back in the old SCW days inducted him, like Tommy Dreamer, who I know he was very close to and who worked very closely with at ECW. Or I would have even loved Joey Styles to induct him, but I'm happy with Roman Reigns. I mean, that is what it is. Roman Reigns is the top guy at the moment, so it reflects Paul Heyman's like status in the wrestling world, and I can't wait to hear Paul Heyman's Hall of Fame speech. I think that's going to be unbelievable. Plus in Philadelphia, like, you know, oof, where ECW just blew up, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah, look, I agree with you, Miles. I think it would, should have been Tommy Dreamer, Joey Styles, you know, one of the old ECW, you know, even, you know, one of the Dudleys.
Gertner.
Yeah, it could have been anyone, right? But I'm a kind of, it's kind of like, Roman Reigns. And it makes sense because he's, you know, he's currently being managed by him. What do you do? But no, good on him. It's going to be good.
Yeah, and talking about ECW, do you see the Netflix is bringing it back? Is bringing ECW when AEW makes the change to Netflix?
What? Hold the fucking phone. What is the, what? Don't, Rod, don't tease me like this, mate.
I'm not teasing you. Look, I'll find it now. I've been looking at it. I didn't say anything at the beginning because, like, you know, the things are coming forward, but it's been in different parts, ECW. And I
send me the link after we record.
So in a move to show the perk of interest of many, Heyman is anticipated to unveil plans to revival ECW with a slighter return in 2025 and the WWE new partnership with Netflix. So it looks like it might happen during the Hall of Fame. So something else to look forward to, guys.
I'm excited, but it's never going to be the same.
Oh, no.
It can't be the same.
But it's Netflix. There's no blockage.
And that's a topic for another day.
And it'll be ad-free on top of that. Something to look forward to. And the last thing we're going to talk about is after, well, we talk about, I think the one that is, if you follow Dreadme, which is the YouTube channel that Bo Dallas had for some time now, and he's been teasing about the coming back of Uncle Howdy and all stuff. Well, there was a big ass tease at the end of Bray Wyatt's documentary that was on Peacock. I haven't been able to watch it because in Australia we don't have Peacock. But at the end of it, you can see the lantern flickering and then it shuts down, and in the background, you can see the shadow of Uncle Howdy. And then hours later on the Dreadme YouTube page, you can see the whole video, the latest video, and he actually gives you the date. And the date is the Monday after WrestleMania. So we will have Uncle Howdy more than likely coming back, and this is the continuation of the great man of Bray Wyatt, guys. What do you think about?
I don't know, man. This is like the boy who cried wolf. I've been waiting for this for a really long time. I'll believe it when I see it. There's just been way too much hype already on this. A lot of it coming from Rod. But I don't know, man.
Nothing on WWE. This is purely from Bo Dallas on YouTube.
And that's the thing. It's like
the rumor is he's been under WWE contracts since 2022.
Yeah. So he's still there. So it could be, but he put some dates. He talked about Sean Spears as soon as he came back. He's talking about, so he's been talking to a lot of WWE stars without WWE. So it's been like it's been a weird mix, which fits perfect with Bray Wyatt's mind, I'll say.
Look, it's interesting if he does this with this hype that's coming out in relation to what he does and they put him on NXT, that would be fucked. That would be a big disappointment for me because of the hype behind Uncle Howdy, right? It's been around for a while, man, for a couple of years now, Rod, I think, right, Uncle Howdy? So, yeah, it's we'll see what happens. Hopefully it's not NXT, man. They've got to pull the trigger and put him in.
The day fits Monday Night Raw. So it'll be the Monday night after WrestleMania. That's the day that fits.
I don't see him being on NXT. It just doesn't make sense. But I don't know what storyline they're going to tie him into or what storyline they're going to start with him. I'd be interested to see that.
Yeah.
Well, but the guys, if you've been watching Dreadme, kind of watch the whole thing with the YouTube channel before Dreadme. And after when you turn to Dreadme, you kind of get the idea of what the things are happening. So it's not 100% Bray Wyatt. It's just kind of, he left all these spirits there and they're coming back. You know, it's not because Bray Wyatt is dead. And that was the beauty of it, because Bray Wyatt left a lot of characters in the background when he came back, like Uncle Howdy and some others. They, even with him gone, they can come back and can have something to do with Bray Wyatt, even though he's not there. So he, and I think, and let's be honest, and Bray Wyatt said it, he worked with Bo Dallas and all this stuff. So Bo Dallas knows exactly what his brother was doing, and that's why he was in the documentary as well, which let's say it was narrated by The Undertaker, no one else. So I can't wait to see that one.
Did you also say that they asked The Undertaker who he would have liked to have broken his streak? Bray Wyatt. He said Bray Wyatt.
100%, man. Yeah. It would be absolutely amazing because it's a dead man with a dead man going at it, and it would be a WrestleMania. It would be a great match between the dead man and this massive, you know, it would be the Fiend against, oh man, just so many things. It would be such a good one. It's like a Sting against The Undertaker. We never got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
We never got to see this unbreakable streak with The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt. We only got left with the image of Undertaker talking on Bray Wyatt's ear, and then choke slam LA Knight, and that was the last one we saw in between them. But with that, we got the wrap up, so we can get into WrestleMania. So we'll go for a break, and when we come back, we're gonna go straight away into Saturday's night card predictions of WrestleMania, and then we got tonight too.